Well, these are times with a lot of mixed emotions going through our lives as a family, knowing that the Lord has seen fit to take Ryan and Lori away from us down to Florida. And we trust that the Lord will bless Ryan as he travels today. He loaded up his U-Haul yesterday and took off for Naples, Florida, made it as far as Florence, South Carolina last night, stayed with Fred and Jenny Cozen, who some of us know, and he gave them a nice great supper and spent some time in prayer together, and then he's on his way down to Naples today, and Lori and the kids will join him either the very first part of August or end of July. So it's a difficult thing to say goodbye to them and see them go. We've enjoyed having them in our home. We trust the Lord will continue to go before them as Ryan begins his new coaching and teaching job down there in that area. It's summertime. Guess what? What's coming up real soon? What's this all about? Right, that's not for you. These, don't touch the prizes, all right? JC, I know you're going to be tempted to touch that soccer ball, but Vacation Bible School is the week of June 23rd, and we even set up the racetrack back there. We'd like to encourage you to look at the cars, but don't touch, especially the kids. We set up early this year just to kind of generate a little more enthusiasm. You know, sometimes we are all guilty, me too, of humdrum, another year, another VBS, God bless you, hope it goes well. You know, maybe this year we can see a little more enthusiasm on the part of all of us, myself included, to really see this a very successful school. Pray for Joe. Joe is going to be taking my place this year as the main speaker. He's going to speak on the armor of God. I'm doing a Vacation Bible School that very week at Silverton, just a conflict I couldn't avoid this year. But Scott Duncan is going to help him out as well. And Diana will be running the program in the back there, and Miss Lisa downstairs. So we're looking forward to a great school. Barb McKenzie and Christina are doing the Mom's Bible Study and Craft Class. And if you really want to come as a mom, let Barbara know she's here this morning so they have enough material. It's not only for the moms of the kids to come to Vacation Bible School, but I'm sure that she wouldn't mind if any of our chapel ladies wanted to come and enjoy a time of Bible study and a craft time. You're welcome. It's 9:30 to 11:30, Monday through Friday. Now, is Mark Mulbach here right now? Mark, did you see what happened to our sign?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you need help after?
No, we'll get
some. Okay. We had beautiful signs put up at either corner of the chapel, and Keith Reardon and I came in this morning, and one was blown over with the storm last night and was out on the sidewalk and onto the street, so we rescued it, but we didn't put it back up because I know Mark's the expert of doing that. But just pray for the VBS that it might be a real blessing to our assembly here, and that we'll see some children really come to grips with eternal issues. Joe has a burden for the gospel, as do I, and pray that the young people, the children, would really respond and give their hearts to the Lord. And then the many Christian kids that come, the many that are believers, they would be challenged and motivated to really live for the Lord. I know that from my own personal experience, Vacation Bible School was the highlight of my year growing up at Bethany Chapel in Yonkers, New York. It was a huge, big event that we all looked forward to, and it was a invigorating and encouraging and stimulating. And I grew as a young Christian boy. I grew in my faith and in my appreciation of the Lord. It wasn't until I was an older teenager at 16 or 17 that I sort of drifted away for a while. But, you know, the Lord is gracious, and he brings us back to himself in due time. But I'm committed to children's ministries and Sunday school and Vacation Bible schools because we can help shape the lives of these young people while they're moldable, they're teachable, they're not set in their ways, and we can win them with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and just embrace them. So let's pray for a real good school in that regard. Now, I know Joe's been trying to do some outreach, and with this hot weather, I don't think we're going to be doing much today. In fact, you know what we probably will do, Joe, is just take maybe a break at all from doing the house to house, trying to engage people and welcome them. And what we'd like to do is to take those Vacation Bible School flyers, the cards, and if we can get some volunteers next weekend, we're just going to canvas the area and look for families with children and just give them those cards at least. The other program that we worked up with Joe was to take a gospel booklet and hopefully engage some conversation with people. It's going to take a lot longer to do that. And we're running out of time before the start of VBS, so maybe we can put that on hold and get back into that during the rest of the summer and just right now concentrate on getting the flyers out for VBS. So next Saturday, maybe after the picnic, we could pull something off, Joe. What do you think? Next Friday afternoon when the sun goes down and it's not so hot, Yeah. So watch for details. Maybe next Saturday, late afternoon, early evening, go out for an hour and just canvas the area for looking for families with kids and giving out those cards. And then we'll resume the outreach that we have down the road. Okay, if you have your Bibles, turn with me this morning to the book of Hebrews. We didn't do a scripture reading this morning, but let me just read a couple of verses that we're going to be looking at, and we'll do a responsive reading. Let's do a responsive reading from Hebrews chapter 4, beginning at verse 12, down to the end of the chapter. Hebrews chapter 4, if you have a pew Bible, I'm not sure what page it is, but it's Hebrews chapter 4, beginning at verse 12. I'll read the first verse and you folks the second, and so on down to the end. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare for the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. And then these wonderful verses teach us about our Lord as the great high priest. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Let's just pray and ask the Lord's blessing again on our study this morning. Lord, we just again come into your presence, and we thank you for the power of your word. We pray that it might penetrate our hearts this morning, myself included. We pray, Lord, that it might change us, that we won't be exactly the same as we were when we came in this morning. Our desire is to be conformed to the image of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to allow Him, by His Holy Spirit, to shape our thoughts and our worldview, to be able to think like He thinks and like He thought and what He did and what He's doing. We pray, Lord, that we might recognize His role in our lives as our Savior from sin and for us as believers as our great high priest interceding on our behalf. We ask your blessing on the Sunday school as they convene this morning, as well as all the activities that take place in this local church fellowship. We give you our praise and our thanks in our Savior's wonderful and precious name. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Who can speak for us? What kind of friends do we have in high places? Well, let me just make some very important opening comments to set the stage for our study this morning. We do have someone in high places, someone who goes to bat for us. You know, you've often heard people that get into difficulty and then they'll start talking among themselves and say, well, I have a friend and he's a judge or he's in high places of authority. And I get a feeling that I can, you know, manipulate him or use him and get off without any difficulties. So I have someone that's going to come and speak on my behalf, or I have someone that I know in high places. That's not always the case for all of us, though. But, you know, as a believer, we can have confidence. We can have confidence in our lives as believers because we have a Savior who understands and takes an active interest in our well-being. I'm committed to that statement, and I believe it with all of my heart. I believe that the Savior that I've entrusted my life to knows the problems that I face. He knows what I'm going through because He has experienced the same sorts of things that we experience apart from sin. And I believe with all of my heart that as we go through the journey of life, that our Savior is not some historical figure in the past, someone who died on a cross some 2,000 years ago, but somehow is irrelevant for today. He is my friend. He is my shepherd. He's my guide. He's my high priest. And He's at my side to help me right now. You know, there's really nothing wrong, is there, in turning to others for help. I get calls every so often from individuals that are just looking for some guidance and for some direction and for help in life. And I hope and I trust and I pray that the Lord gives me and gives all of us, as we have opportunities to open doors, wisdom and discernment as we deal with people in their lives. Many lives are dealing with issues that are very complex. And it's not really inappropriate for us to seek out a good Christian friend, a counselor, when we go through difficulties, perhaps in our job or in our marriage or in raising our children or dealing with health issues. I had a brother that, I won't mention his name, called me last night because he's dealing with some issues that's causing him some concern and grief and some difficulties. And he's just reaching out to talk to someone, a brother in the Lord. And we met and we prayed together. And that's appropriate to do that, to find people that we can feel confident with and comfortable with. But there is one who is always there for us, ever faithful, never takes a break, never will let us down, and that is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though we may not be able to see Him, but much like the anchor on the ocean floor, our Lord is still doing His high priestly work, providing the stability and the help that we need to face the struggles that we face in our lives and the issues that come our way. I have never called a hotline in my life. I'm not sure what it's like to get on the phone and call a hotline, but I know people that do that. There are hotlines for all different kinds of reasons. I have a list in my office there of hotlines for all kinds of issues, from domestic abuse to child abandonment, all kinds of things. And there are many crisis hotlines across the country that we can call. When we have a problem, we have a difficulty, we can look at a list, pick out a number, and talk to someone who hopefully is sympathetic and is understanding of our particular problem. I often wonder, why is that particular counselor at the other end of the line so capable and so able to relate to people that call? And the obvious conclusion is that usually it's because that individual himself or herself has gone through the very situation that the caller has in mind. And we need to just remind ourselves afresh this morning, as we looked at these verses that we have read, that Jesus, our Savior, is our ultimate friend in the highest place of all. Do you have a friend? Do you have a friend in high places? I do. He's in heaven interceding on my behalf. The highest place of all. He's there right now to intercede on our behalf. But at the same time, He's right here with us, providing us through His Holy Spirit, who indwells us as believers, with advice and with counsel and all that we need to face life situations and problems. We can have confidence to enter into His presence and ask for help. I'm not sure if you're like me sometimes, but, you know, I tend to be a person that once in a while becomes very self-sufficient. I have a hard time at times letting folks know that I have needs and I could use your help. There's an independent streak within me that wants to do it by myself on my own without your help, thank you. And I have to fight that all the time. I have to realize that here at Kenilworth Gospel Chapel, there is a body of believers. Every one of you, as I look out of the audience, I know most of you, if not all of you, by name. I've gotten to know you over the last 17 years. I recognize that each one has gifts and abilities and strengths. And we can minister to one another. We can encourage one another in our walk with the Lord. And I want to encourage all of us to make that effort to even do that even more so in the days ahead, when it's going to get tougher and tougher to really act out and live out our Christian lives. We need each other. We need the support of each other. But above all else, don't any one of us ever forget that we have one in high places, We have one who has gone before us. We read earlier in the chapter in our service, he's bringing many sons to glory. Christ has taken on human flesh in the incarnation and went to that cross to bear our sins, the punishment that we deserve. And now God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name in high places. You can't get any higher than where he's at. And we can draw near with confidence. We can enter into his very presence in time of need. And I know I've called out to the Lord often in time of need, and I need to do it more as I learn to be more dependent upon him and not so self-sufficient. That's what our country and our culture encourages us to be, you know, not to be dependent on other people. And we need, as brothers and sisters in Christ, to allow the Lord to use us to minister to others. I came across this quote here. It's sort of like an application of these verses. I just want to read that. It comes from a book by a man by the name of John Nesbitt. See if you can relate to this. He says, "We used to derive much strength and support from family and friends. It used to be that way. But for many families today, divorce and frequent relocation has severed the supportive ties upon which former generations relied. There are adults who feel more lonely now than ever before. Some are unable to socialize as much as they would like because of their demanding work schedules. Others are unwilling to take the risk of getting to know people because they fear of being rejected or misunderstood. In the midst of these difficulties, it's easy to wonder whether there's really anybody out there who cares." He goes on to say that in his book, where he wrote about trends facing society, he discussed the emotional coldness that a technological society produces. In an increasingly impersonal world, there's a heightened need for personal contact and emotional support. One of the great needs today is for the people to know that God is there and that he wants to hear about their needs. For the believer, Jesus Christ is the one who meets that need. As our perfect and faithful high priest, he is indeed sympathetic to our concerns and our burdens. He concludes by saying this: "Rather than letting us shrink back from God in times of distress because we think our problems are insignificant or we're unworthy," in our verses in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews encourages us to come boldly to the throne of grace and receive timely help from the Savior. So my two main points as I begin a little discussion of these verses in Hebrews chapter 4, I'm hopefully getting across the fact that we have one in high places for our behalf, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We can go to him 24/7. He's always readily available. Take advantage of that. That ministry that he provides for us, interceding on us, representing us before his Heavenly Father. He knows, he understands what we've been through. And then the second focal point of that is, as you look around, see which people perhaps you can come alongside and mentor and encourage and disciple, so that when they run into difficulties, they know who they can count on, who's a trusted, faithful friend. We all need a faithful friend. Yes, Dick.
Don't always interrupt.
You can do that anytime you want. You're elder emeritus.
So you just made a point about, you know, recognizing need and to know. Some of you know that in the chapel here we have a need for private needs of different ones in the assembly. From time to time, different ones just give money for that. It's not generally known. We just don't usually tell everybody about it. But there's a couple here that I've gotten to know. I remember Mitchie came here a couple of times and spoke. And he just had a particular need. I just spoke to a few people here at the chapel. And through our chapel meet fund, we just sent him a few bucks. Didn't know what it was. So it turns out it was exactly
what do you need?
He shared with me exactly the amount of money that he needed without going into the need. And he just came here to say thank you. And I wasn't going to do this, but just what you said, I just thought, here's a living illustration, Mitch and Cordelia, who will be married in this chapel in October. So, Mitch is just a graduate of the mission.
You're not interrupting. That's great. I don't mind that at all. In fact, I talked with Mitch on the way up there, and I was sitting up here thinking that, you know, I'm going to ask him to sing. And I didn't have enough nerve to do that until now. But do you have a song that you'd like to just sing? Even the same song you sang here once before, it was just so moving. Do you want to do that or no? Just go ahead and stand and sing. Just minister to us in song. This is a great ministry.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 is where we began our reading. And I want to give you a little bit of encouragement, too, to talk about one of the themes that the writer of Hebrews talks about is that of rest, a rest for the people of God. And the gospel is a source of that rest. And I hope that you have entered into that rest, that you have trusted the Savior for your salvation and know what it means to be at rest, to be at peace with God. And the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is superior to Joshua in the rest that he gives, the first 8 verses of chapter 4. We're not going to look at those this morning, although I thought we might. I studied them, and yet I'm going to focus on some other thoughts. In chapter 4, verses 9 to 13, it's the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is superior to Joshua in the redemption that he provides. A redemptive rest is available for God's people. Verses 9 and 10 of chapter 4. And this redemption rests fully on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, apart from any human effort or legalistic claim as a means to either salvation or sanctification. It's all readily available for us in the redemptive rest that God has allowed us to enjoy through his Son. And then when he gets to verse 12 is where we started our reading this morning. He talks about the instrument in which God uses to bring men into the rest of faith. What is it that he uses? It's the dynamic, living Word of God. This Word, which is keener than a sharp, two-edged sword, it severs to the point where attitudes and motives are laid bare, where one's innermost thoughts are judged. The Word of God strips away all pretense and sham, revealing us as to who we really are. There's no way that we can ever find true rest in our lives as believers until we allow the Word of God to have its effect in our lives, to strip away all the sham and hypocrisy, and to be who we really are or who we really should be. The Word of God is powerful. That's one of the first verses I remember learning when I went off to Emmaus Bible School, as it was called. Then we had to memorize verses every day. And one of the first ones they had us memorize was Hebrews 4:12. So that when we exposed our hearts and our minds to the study of the Scriptures, when we considered the great themes of salvation and sanctification, and what it meant to grow and develop and mature and not lag behind, not be lazy and not be slothful, but to be diligent and to be moving ahead. The main thrust was to allow the Word of God to have its work, do its work in our lives. As I mentioned already, the things that it does, it severs to the point where attitudes and motives are laid bare, where one's innermost thoughts are judged, where it strips away all pretense and sham, revealing us as we truly are. And faith that leads to rest in Christ is distinguished there from just sheer simply mental assent or formalism. And then when you take the time to read from chapter 4 through chapter 5, the writer of the Hebrews is emphasizing the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ as also being far superior to that of Aaron. And I want to suggest three reasons this morning, looking at verses 14 through 16, the verses that we've read, and where our great high priest is great because. Why is he so great? Well, number one, we read it in verse 14. Our great high priest is great because of his finished work of redemption, attested by his having passed through the heavens. Verse 14. What does that mean? Passed through the heavens. This means that worship and intercession are now carried on in the heavenly sanctuary alone. And the believer has been brought directly into God's presence. Hebrews 10:19 says this, "Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus." We have a great high priest who intercedes on our behalf, who is sympathetic to our needs and knows us through and through because of his finished work of redemption, having passed through the heavens. We have a fully qualified high priest, a fully qualified Savior. That's been one of the themes of our breaking of bread off and on throughout the years, as we talk about the qualifications of the one who we claim to own as our Savior. He's not just some great religious leader or teacher setting some moral examples before us. But he is fully qualified because he is fully God. And he's fully able to meet us in our needs that we have as believers. But it's also great because he is Jesus, the Son of God, qualified to represent man before the throne of God the Father. We read in those verses, he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, or sympathizes with our weaknesses, because he was tested in all particulars as we are, sin excepted. He had no connection with sin. He was tempted in every way as the absolutely sinless one, the perfect man. I jotted down chapter 7 and verse 26 as a reference point for that point. Let me just read the verse. "For it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separate from sinners, and exalted above the heavens." You can't say enough about the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ to exalt his name and to give him his proper place in our lives as well as in the life of our assembly. He is the Son of God, qualified to represent us before his Father. And I'm thankful to God for that. He's been touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And then a third reason why we have such a great high priest is because he, and this is really touching. This is really something that should really break our hearts and really make us thankful when you think about this truth from God's word. He's a great high priest because he has transformed God's throne of holy judgment against sinners to a throne of grace for believers. There is therefore now no condemnation or judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus. A throne of punishment, a throne of judgment, which once was for us, has now become a throne of grace. We can draw near. What's your concept of God in your life today? To me, I look at Him as an incredibly loving Heavenly Father. And not some distant, austere force that has no interest in my life. I believe that He is intimately interested in the lives of people. It was Dan Smith used to say, and we quoted this in our Bible study. In fact, Joe could probably quote it because I gave it to him. Dan Smith used to say this: when all of human history has come to its conclusion, what is it that God is going to salvage and save out of human history? Not our buildings, not our edifices, whatever it may be, but it's going to be people. Excuse me. People. Individual lives that mean a lot to Him. He bought us at a great price. A great price was paid to secure us into His very family. And the Bible says we're not our own. Therefore, glorify God in our bodies. And we can draw near to a God like that. I'm not afraid of Him. But I'd say one thing. I come into His presence with a great sense of reverence. I don't tread lightly in His presence. I come boldly. But I recognize that I'm dealing with God Almighty. And yet there's a throne of grace. And the Bible tells us in these verses that we read, let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What a wonderful Savior we have. Some people don't have a very good concept of a God like that. Maybe it's because some people never really had a good example of an earthly father, and left kind of a sour taste in their mouths as to a father that deserted, left, abandoned, divorced, whatever, didn't treat their children in the way that they should have. But our God, our Heavenly Father, is not like that. I think you read from Psalm 103 this morning. The Father, what's that verse, Joe? The Father pitieth His children, and He shows mercy to us. He's a wonderful God, and I'd just like to encourage you to draw near to Him in your life day by day. Don't keep him at arm's length. Don't keep Him at a distance. Let Him become a part of your life, a vital part of your life. Allow the Word of God, that's sharper than any two-edged sword, to come in and do its work. I'm talking to myself as well. To get rid of those things that are displeasing to Him. To have a life that's set apart, that's honoring to Him in word and in deed. And to have a God that I can come at any time, who is readily available to listen and to intercede on my behalf. The rest of the chapter, actually the first four verses of chapter 5, talk about the qualifications of the Aaronic priesthood. We're not going to get into that this morning. But just take the time to read, maybe at your leisure today, verses 5 to 10, the superiority of Christ's qualifications. Divinely chosen by God the Father. Divinely appointed to be an eternal priest of the Melchizedek order. A true man with a genuine human nature in the days of his flesh. Therefore able to represent men. The perfect substitute for man and his sin. Those are points that are in chapter 5. But my thrust this morning, as I conclude our message, we're going to stop a little bit early so we can get our VBS meeting in, is verse 12 again. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And then verse 16. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. So let me just encourage you again to look to the Lord every day of your life for all the needs that you have and that you will have. He did not promise us a life of ease, a life free of difficulties and problems. We're all going to struggle with that. If not already, it will come soon. Each one of us will have to experience testings and trials and tribulations that come into our lives. We're not exempt from that. We're not immune from that. And when those times come, whether it's health issues or whatever it may be, that we can draw near to a God who understands because His Son is our high priest interceding on our behalf. And then the second thought is just to try your best to bring this body of believers here even closer together, that we really get to know each other and that we can sense when another brother or sister is hurting or has a need, that we're not oblivious. It bothers me so much when I find myself being oblivious to people right around me. It's like over my head. I don't even notice. And just pray that God will make us sensitive to the needs of others in our own family as well as in the body of Christ here. We're going to close in prayer, and then I think Dwayne has a postlude he's going to do for us, so we can sit quietly for just a moment in silent prayer, and then I'd like to encourage anybody that's involved in Vacation Bible School to meet back in the fellowship room at 12 o'clock, and we'll get our meeting done and out of the way. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for giving us an opportunity to be here today. Thank you for the song that our brother Mitch sang to us, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, Saved a Wretch Like Me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Thank you, Lord, that you have been merciful to us. We don't deserve it. We deserve absolutely nothing but your wrath and the punishment. But you are a very gracious God, and you provided through your Son a Savior that can save to the uttermost those who put their faith and trust in Him. We pray, Lord, that if there's anybody here this morning that has never come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that they would do what's required of them today, just to repent and ask God's forgiveness for their sins and to become a part of the family of God. That many of us that are believers, Lord, help us to draw near to you day by day, to draw all of our sustenance and our strength and our resources from you. Yet at the same time, we recognize that we need each other in the body of Christ. So help us to know what's best to do to encourage others in their walk with you, to find those that are downhearted and discouraged and faint-hearted, and come alongside them and buoy their spirits as you allow us to do that in the energy of the Spirit of God. Bless us as we part. Give us a good day, we pray. We commend ourselves to you for your loving, tender care. In Jesus' name, amen.